Welcome to this Bible Center Church Core Class. We hope that this in-depth teaching of God's Word will challenge you to grow in your knowledge of Him and help you become a disciple who makes more disciples.
All right, welcome back to our Core Classes. It's good to have you here. And we are working through the fall at this point. So we've just got done talking about the temptation. And now we're going to talk about the actual fall itself, what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. And if you are in the big book, at the top of the page, it should say the fall, and that's where we're going to be. I'm going to read one section from our membership statement of faith that goes along with this. In section I, which is the section on the fall and the effects of sin, number one says this: God created Adam and Eve in perfect holiness and gave them clear commandments. Eve was tempted and deceived by the serpent, and both Adam and Eve disobeyed and rebelled, willfully sinning against God. So at the top of that page, the verse at the top says this: when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from the fruit, and she ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So the fruit at the beginning, when God described it, he described it as deadly. Like, if you eat of this, you will surely die. But somehow went from deadly to here, desirable. And when we talk through the temptation that we just got done talking about, it was by Satan the serpent deceiving them, tricking them into believing that God wasn't there for their good, but God was only there for his own good. So it went from being deadly to desirable. Temptation changed that. In their minds, they began to question, is God for me or is God just for himself? And if God's just for himself, maybe I need to be for me. So this concept or this opportunity to reach out and grab the knowledge of good and evil felt like something they had to do for themselves, that God was withholding something from them. So the enemy made them begin to question God's goodness and God's love. And whenever you and I question God's goodness and love, we go somewhere else to try to get that need for love and that need for goodness met. So when the enemy came at them, he came at them with a lie. A lie led to a distorted perspective, which led to a changed heart, which led to a changed action, which led to rebellion. We must be able to identify lies from truth. The role of the church in this endeavor is simple. The church itself is called the pillar of truth. We are called to live life together in community, in faith, checking one another, keeping one another in balance, making sure we're living out what God's called us to do. We are called a family. And we're also told that as a family, we're supposed to speak the truth in love to one another. That's how we're to live life together. So in the fall, was it Adam's fault or was it Eve's fault? I've heard people talk about this and try to figure it out. Was it Adam's fault or was it Eve's fault? Eve's the one who first took the fruit and ate it. And it says she handed it to Adam, and then Adam took a bite and ate it. So was it her fault? Was it his fault? He was there. He could have stopped her. She's the one who picked the fruit, though. So whose fault was it? Scripture, interestingly, kind of points to both. In Romans chapter 5, it points to Adam and holds him responsible. It says that Adam was the head of the human race, and he was responsible for sin entering the world. When Adam, who was the head of the human race, ate, it says that all of us sinned. Also, though, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression." So Scripture points to both being responsible. So Eve was responsible for the sin. Adam was also responsible for the sin. In terms of like why all of us are born with a sinful nature, it's because of Adam. He was the head of the human race, something that was unique to his role. And because of his fall, because of his transgression and rebellion, all of us are now born with a sinful nature. God said, "From the day you eat of it, you will surely die." So what happens after they eat the fruit? Do they both fall over dead? They don't. So what is actually going on there? What is the consequence that God's referring to? In the moment that they ate, they died spiritually. There was a spiritual death that took place when they died. At the beginning of the book of Ephesians, it talks about the difference between having spiritual life and being spiritually dead. When we sin, and with our sinful nature, we are spiritually dead until God works in our heart. So God is at work, and then there's the sharing of the good news of the gospel. That's when we are sparked, born again, and made alive in God. But before we're alive in God, we're spiritually dead. That is the death that took place when mankind rebelled against God. So the consequence of the fall was clearly communicated by God. It would be death. But for some reason, this did not deter Adam and Eve. We need to understand the power of deception and the power of sin, even for you and I. God promises us, and He tells us out loud, I'm going to take care of your needs for delight, your need to be loved and taken care of, and having security in your life. I will provide those things for you. But so often, we are deceived, and we begin to question God's goodness, God's love, His willingness to take care of us, to provide comfort in our life, and then we go outside of God's bounds, and we begin to take care of ourselves in weird ways by coping mechanisms, by relationships we shouldn't be in, by doing things we shouldn't do, anything to make us feel better. It could be as bad as an inappropriate relationship or eating too many Oreo cookies. Both of those things are ways to indulge outside of God's design just to make us feel better, to make us feel loved, to make us feel good. So you and I need to realize that rebellion just runs in our veins. Our tendency is to trust ourselves more than to trust God. It happened in the garden with Adam and Eve through simple temptation. It happens with you and I all the time, again, through simple temptation. So never sit back and think that you and I would have done a better job than Adam and Eve. Because every single day we're alive, we prove the opposite. You and I still choose to sin, even when we have the Holy Spirit, even when we have God's Word, even when we have God's family. We still choose to sin. Why? Because so often we trust ourselves more than we trust God, which leads us to rebellion and doing things however we want. So we have to lean back into trusting in God, His goodness, His character, who He's revealed Himself to be. That whole section we did on God Almighty and Jesus the Messiah, we go back to those truths and we trust Him. We lean into Him, believing that He will take care of us. And when that happens, temptation isn't quite as powerful. But the moment we stand on our own two feet and trust in ourselves and don't trust in God, temptation overwhelms. And often that leads to sin and finding goodness and love outside of God's desire and God's plan and God's presence. So that's my encouragement for you, and that's my encouragement for me, is just that we continue to seek God with all our heart and recognize the sinful nature inside of us and how much we need His help every single day. So from here, we're going to look at the fact that sin has broken everything. So the next time we get together, we'll look at how sin has broken our relationship with God, and then how sin has broken our relationships with one another. And then the third one will be, is how has sin broken the world and society? And therefore, how do we relate to the culture that we live in? I look forward to going through those with you. I'll see you then.